Abraham was a father. And if you look in verse 19, what we're preaching about today was a father's reputation. A father's reputation. And again, we'll see here in just a second, you know, who we should actually worry about that. Let the rest of it take care of itself. But Abraham had a reputation. A father's reputation. Verse 19, this is God speaking. And He said this about Abraham. And so pretty good reputation that he had with God. It says here, "For I know him." And so, of course, this shows that Abraham was a believer. He was putting his faith in what Jesus was going to do on the cross. And he wanted to please God. And God knew that about him. And he knew him. He said, "For I know him." Then not only did he know him, it says here, "that he will command his children." And so he's like, look, obviously I love the little kids. And the Bible talks about that. You know, the disciples were trying to get the kids away from Jesus one time, thought they were disturbing the crowd and, you know, getting in the way and, you know, things like that. And he said, whoa, whoa, whoa. And I believe he said, suffer the little children. Let them come. And so, of course, Jesus loves the little children. And so he said, I know Abraham, and he's going to command his children. And again, I know in our world today, there's a lot of different opinions on that. You know, a lot of people want to take away masculinity and let everybody be little sissies and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But then, you know, of course, you can go the other way and, you know, be Grog the caveman rawr, and not have any decorum and so forth. But we are commanded to train our kids and raise our kids and things like that. And so he's like, hey, I know Abraham's going to do it right. He's not going to be a jerk. He's not going to be mean. He's not going to let them get away with murder. He's not going to just not do anything. I know he's going to do the right thing. So this was the reputation that Abraham had with God. I know him, that he will command his children. And then it says here, and his household after him. So in other words, he's going to walk guard around his house and not let anything be in his house that shouldn't be. Anything that he finds in there, he's going to get rid of. I know Abraham's going to do the right thing. He's going to be a good example there. So for I know him, he will command his children and he will and his household after him. And so that after him there, in other words, he's not going to send his wife and kids to church. He's going to take them to church. So they're going to go after him. All right. He's not going to send them to go live in this world as a Christian should. He's going to, hey, let's go. So they're going to come after him. And they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment. So they're going to do the right thing. There's going to be some times where they're going to have to sit down and have a family powwow. All right. Say, look, this is just the way it's going to be in our house. I know your friends may this, and I know the world may say, and I know that this is what the internet's saying, and this is what social media, but look, here in my house, we're going to do the right thing. We're going to care what God thinks, not what the world thinks. We're going to care what the Bible says, not what Dr. Phil says. We're going to care. So he's doing the right thing. And so he had a reputation with God that, like, look, I know that all that those options are out there, but I know Abraham's going to pick the right one. He's going to do justice and judgment that the Lord may bring upon Abraham. He's going to live in a way that I can bless him. I'm not going to always going to be having to say, Abraham, come on now, buck up, man up, Christian up. Let's get it together. I know I'm not going to have to do that. He's just going to do the right thing. That which hath spoken of him. And so everybody else is going to be, that's going to be his reputation. Yeah, Abraham, yeah, he's a Bible Bob. Abraham, he's a stickler on, you know, rules. Abraham, he's always going to do the right thing. Abraham, you know, you can't get him to do the little shady stuff. Abraham, that's what everybody was saying. So he had a reputation with God and then what others were saying about him. So Abraham not only had this reputation with God, but he had it in his household. Again, there was a lot of questions growing up that I didn't have to ask because I knew my dad's opinion. Now, sad to say was when he wasn't around, sometimes I would do the opposite. And lo and behold, me always got caught. And, you know, he'd play that game. Uh-huh. I'm like, what? I know. You know what? I know what you did. How? So he knew I'd done something then. And then he would basically say stuff that would get me to just tell it all. Yeah, blah, 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 blah. I told you, see there. So he had that reputation with his house that this is just the way it's going to be. And again, that was my dad, my house. You sleep under my roof, eat my food. I buy your clothes, pay for that. We're just going to do it this way. Again, wasn't a jerk. But Abraham had that reputation with God and with others. They said it about him. So we see here the priority in Abraham's mind, though, was God first. He liked that his kids knew where he stood, and he liked that his wife knew where he stood, and he liked that the community knew where he stood, but his first priority was God. And in our day and time, this is what other people, this is their priority. What does the world think? What does social media think? You know, I got to pose this and set this up and things like that and keep my rep up. And so they're more focused on making sure their reputation with social things in society. And then, you know, maybe everybody in my house, if they line up with that, that's okay. And then maybe I'll put God in there. Abraham's was just the opposite. And we're going to see here in just a minute that he proved that in his life, that God was first, and then he was going to do the just thing and the righteous thing, and he was going to do that, and so his house was going to be next. And then if anybody else wanted to have that, you know, reputation of him, that's great. And so that's what we have. So God's plan was for man to be the head of the home. And again, I know that goes against society in a lot of ways. But Ephesians 5:23, it says, "For the husband is the head." That's one of those verses that's hard to understand. What does God really mean here? Does He want the husband to be the head of the house? For the husband is to be the head. I think so. All right, that's just the way it is. I don't want to be chauvinistic. I don't want to be man. The Bible says this is the way God planned it. Now I know sometimes the man is not there, and so we saw Timothy, his mother and his grandmother was his biggest influences. But they kind of were pretty smart there too and said, "Hey, Paul, spend some time with young Timothy here. I don't want him to throw a ball like his mom." Now, in some cases, that's pretty awesome. Mom's got a great arm too. But anyway, we see that sometimes it's just not that way. But God set it up for the husband to be the head. Doesn't lessen the woman at all. Because God pretty much said, "I made man, and I made him to be the head, but it's not good for him to be alone. He's going to make a mess of things. And if he gets a hangnail or a little cold, he's going to be on the couch for a month. And so I got to have he needs to help me, right?" I'm just saying how God's reputation of Abraham was. He put him in there to be the head of the house. He said, "I know he's going to do right. He's going to command his kids. Everybody in his house is going to be in line. And he's going to do the right thing. He's going to have a great testimony in the public." So we see here that, spiritually speaking, he was supposed to be the priest of the home. And, of course, the priest's job was to, take the sacrifice and pray put the blood on the altar there and things like that. He had responsibilities. And so, of course, he was supposed to be the priest of the home. He had the responsibility. And he was supposed to be take care of the spiritual aspects of the home. And I know a lot of homes these days, if there's a Bible question, go ask your mom. "Are we going to church today?" Go with your mom. And that's sad. And the thing is, God probably knows that about that home. Because He knew this about Abraham's home. I know Abraham. He's going to do the right thing. So He led by example. He led them to church. He took, not sinned. You can send your kid to school, and you can send your kid to camp, and I believe it's okay for you not to go. All right? But don't send them to church. And again, I know I'm preaching to the choir because you're here today, amen? But that's what God thought of Abraham. So God had confidence in Abraham, and that's what He said, "For I know him." God also put him in the Bible so He could use him as an example. So obviously this took place years and years and thousands of years ago. But He said, "Hey, I know Abraham. He's going to command his kids. He's not going to let them just be, rambunctious and, acting like, craziness and things like that. He's going to command them, teach them." And his household is going to be right. He's going to do the right thing and have a great example or a great testimony. So we can also learn in Abraham's life that the things that we're going to look at today, most of the ones we're going to look at today, we can learn from it and say, okay, we need to do that. There's a couple of things that Abraham did that we can learn not to do. All right, he lied about his wife being his sister, things like that. The Bible says, thou shalt not lie. So we ought not do that. There's a few things. He wasn't perfect. And so again, we don't have to say, well, you know, mark it up. God will never know that I am perfect, because Abraham wasn't perfect, but God knew him. So studying the life of Abraham, we will see that we can learn many valuable lessons that we can learn from. And it says here, we ought to keep in order our house, the Bible says. And so we ought to make sure that's there. So from the day that he left Ur of the Chaldees, this is where he lived, and I guess, you know, in our day, you know, we start a lot of our sentences with maybe back then they started it with Ur. I don't know if it was really actually Ur of the Chaldees or it was just, I'm just kidding. But anyway, we see here he was from Ur of the Chaldees. But you know the story. God came to Abraham. And so this is why God knew Abraham. He had done some of these things to have that reputation with God. So he's like, look, I've been watching this guy. He's got his kids in line. He's got his house in line. He does everything justly and does the right kind of judgment, and he wants to please me. And so I know when I go over and say, Abraham, I want you to leave. And I'm actually going to tell him I want you to leave not knowing where you're going. That's kind of hard. Today we punch it in our phone before we leave anywhere, right? And then some of our phones are so stinking smart, they know where you're going. You know, 2,500 feet, turn left because they think you're going to work. All right. Hopefully this morning it said, you know, Lighthouse Baptist Church, if it's got you figured out, and told you how to get here. But he was told, go. Okay, God, where? Just go. And so he knew, he had proven, he had that reputation with God that he would just do that. So we see the day he left Ur of the Chaldees, he was putting his faith in God. And he was trusting in God, and he was following God. He had that reputation. So God was confident, and he said it right there in verse 19. I know. Mark it down. The sun rises in the east, settles in the west, and Abraham is going to do this. You can be confident with that. And God was confident with that. The Bible says in Proverbs 25:19, confidence in an unfaithful man in the time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. If you've ever had either one of those, you know it's a pain. All right, a broken tooth. just a nerve or a cavity or, oh my goodness, a broken tooth, and you know just breathing across it, that air touches that nerve and it just sends pain. And that's what God's saying. If I'm trying to have confidence in somebody that's not proven it, like Abraham's reputation, it's like my tooth broke. And then a foot out of joint, obviously you might can get there, but you're going slow and you're walking like who knows. You can't get things done. So God says, I'm confident that He's going to do the right thing. So God being able to count on you is one of the highest compliments that you can get. Again, I hope people think, well, if He said He'll be there, He'll be there. If He said He'd do that, He'd do that. I hope I have that testimony. I hope I have that reputation. But more than that, I hope that God knows. If He said, hey, I want you to go to name the mission field, He knows that I might say, God, we've just been here 2.5 years. You sure? All right. But He knows deep down. If He said and made it real to me and plain to me that He would say yes. He would go. I hope that you have that reputation with God. Abraham did. Job had that reputation with God. Of course, we know the story. We've preached about it, taught about it. You know, the devil was going to and fro, and you know, God's like, "What are you doing?" He's like, "I've been back and forth all throughout this earth, looking who I can devour, you know, mess up." And God said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" I mean, He had confidence in Job that He said, "Look, you can do everything except take his life, and he will still thank God for me, or thank me. He will still pray to me. He will still serve me. Do what you will." He had confidence in Him. So we see that these two fellows had that reputation with God that they would do it. So let's look at an outline here on how did Abraham prove to God How did Abraham get that reputation with God? Number one, he let God have the choice. He always let God have the choice. So that's why he could tell us and the world and everybody that's ever read this book, I know Abraham. He's going to keep his kids in line. He's going to keep his house in line. He's going to do the right thing. And he's going to be a great example to this world. I know it. Well, how do you know that? Because he always gave me the choice. Always gave me the choice. In my office, I have a little plaque. I've had it for years. I think my mom may have gotten it for me. But it says this, God always gives the best to those who leave the choice to Him. And I believe that's biblically principled. That's not a verse, but it says that. That God always gives the best to those that leave the choice to Him. Matthew 6:33 would follow along with that. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. If a man's ways please God, there's just principles in there. And so Abraham, he proved it several times. On this day, when he said, hey, I want you to leave Ur of the Chaldees. Okay, where are we going? I don't know, just start going. Yes, sir. He proved it. He left, let God have, I want to stay here by my family. I grew up here. I wouldn't know what to do if I wasn't right here. No, he didn't say any of that. He said, yes, sir. So he always gave God the choice. Abraham let God make the choice whether he would go or stay that day. Here's another place. Abraham let God pick which direction he would go when him and Lot had to separate. And of course, obviously, you know the story that they had been blessed, both of them had been blessed with their herds, and then their herdsmen, and there just wasn't enough, I guess, supply for all that. And so Abraham was talking with God, and he's like, look, the only way I know to let you have the choice is I'm going to let Lot have the choice, and wherever he picks, I'll go the opposite. And so we know the story. Lot looked at the well-water plains, and he went towards Sodom and Gomorrah, and Abraham said, all right, I took the leftovers. So he let God have the choice. So which, when God is left out of our decisions, failure is imminent. So if we make a decision where we're going to go left, we're going to go right. Whether we're going to stay or where we're going to go. I mean, any decision that we are going to make, who I'm going to date, who I'm not going to date, who I'm going to marry, who I'm not going to marry, where I'm going to work, where I'm not going to work. If we leave God out of those decisions, failure is imminent. But if we put God into those, success is imminent. Because the Bible says He seek ye first, and He's going to give you all the things. He'll add those things. And so we see here, even the pursuit of failure or pleasure should not stop. If we should stop and say, let God in. Will this pleasure contribute to my strength and character? Will it please God? Will it bring glory to God? That's how we give God the choice. So it says here, this is why God could have confidence in Abraham, because he let God have the choice. Now, we know the devil is going to set traps for us. And so letting God choose for us, he can help navigate around those traps. Because that day where he was walking to and fro, there's a verse in 2 Chronicles that says God's eyes were going to and fro. In other words, he sees the traps. And he's like, look, if you keep going that way and don't let me in this decision, don't let me help you choose, you're going to fall right into that trap. But if you'll let me be involved in the decision, I'll guide you around those traps. There'll be light into our path. And so forth. We see, he said, whatever God wants, will this help me or hurt me in my relationship with God? He let God have the choice. And he knew that if he gave God the choice, it would help him with his relationship with his wife. It would help him with the relationship with his kids. It would help him with the relationship with his family, his friends, even the loss of this world. Abraham knew. And everywhere he went, obviously God put that blessing there and shined on him. So most of us make decisions without even referring to God. Sad to say. I'm probably in that list. A lot of times we just make decision after decision after decision after decision, and we don't even put God in the equation. But that's why God could say, I know Abraham. Because Abraham had proved any decision I have to make, number one place I'm going to is God. So we ought to have that. Now, we could compare these two men. Lot didn't ask God to help with the decision. Abraham let God help with the decision. And of course, you can see their two lives. One ended up in a mess, and one was blessed. So Abraham proved that God could count on him. I know him. Why? Because he let God have the choice. Number two, he let God into his home. He let God into his home. There in Genesis 18, if you still have it open, we read in verse 19 that he said, hey, I know him. I know he's going to keep his kids straight. I know he's going to keep his house straight. I know he's going to do the right thing, and he's going to have the right kind of testimony. But in verse 1 through 8, I'll read real quick. It says here, and the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. Now, obviously, he didn't have a 3-2 split level that God could come visit him at. But he had a tent. And so, it says here, and the Lord appeared unto him. It says here, and he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, there were three men stood by him. And when he had saw them, he ran to meet them from the door of his tent and bowed himself toward the ground and said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight. So again, this is how God or Abraham got that reputation with God. I know him because, man, he bowed himself. He prayed. He wanted to please me, even at his house. It says here, let a little water, I pray you, be fetched and wash your feet and rest yourselves under a tree. So he's taking care of him right here at his house. It says here, and I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort you, your hearts. Eat your hearts after that ye shall pass on. And so this will help you with the water and food, and you'll get strength to go on the rest of your journey. And you come to your servant. And they said, so do as thou hast said. And Abraham hastened into the tent. And again, remember what I talked about that help meet? Abraham's talking, man, my wife makes the best biscuits. My wife has got the best this. And then he runs into the house or into the tent. Hey, I didn't open my mouth. And what you need to really do real quick is get this together, this together, this together. Any lady been there? All right, the husband just wrote a check. Now you got to cash it, right? And so forth. So anyway, we see that he needed Sarah. And he says, make ready quickly. She's like, that's not a quick job. That takes a long time. And I'm sure we've had those prayer meetings, amen. And it says here, three measures, not just one. There's three of them out there. All right, and some of us maybe even showed up to our house with three friends without telling her, and we're still in trouble. But especially today, in today's time, you can text or you can call. Back then, you could just show up. Anyway, so they make some cakes upon the hearth, and Abraham ran into the herd and fetched a calf tender and good. So he was helping. All right, he felt a little bad. He didn't make her go kill the calf too. You make the biscuits, and then you go kill the cow. I'm going to sit in here and chew the fat. No, he went. He sat here, and he gave it, and the young man, and he hastened and dressed it, and he took butter. Whew, y'all ready to go to lunch? And milk. Butter and milk. Whew, goodness. And it says here, and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. All right? And so, anyway, it wasn't bolting down the hatches, be real quiet. Maybe they'll leave. Uncle so and so and Aunt so and so is coming up. Play like you're not here. Well, they didn't do that. They're like, come on in. My wife can do this. Oh yeah, she don't have anything to do today. She's just sitting around relaxing. No problem. She can get that done. And they weren't saying, turn that off. Put that in the drawer. Hide that. Don't talk like that now while we got guests. Don't be watching that channel while we got guests. Come on in. What you see is what you get. I'm not hiding anything. Nothing going on here at my house that you don't see anyway. So we see here that this is why God could say about Abraham, ain't no sweat. Look how he's taking care of his kids. He's got his house in order. He does the right thing. And we stopped by surprisingly one day. They took care of us. They weren't hiding anything. They weren't, putting on the, dog and pony show and things like that. They just washed our feet, fed our bellies, and quenched our thirst, and sent us on our way. So we see that Abraham let God into his house. And we should be, you know, God should be comfortable in our home. And this is another reason why God could say, Abraham, I know he'll do it. So, it says here, God was okay with anything that they read or watched in their home. God was okay with any of the conversations that they had in their home. God was okay with any activities that took place in their home. God was okay with the atmosphere in their home. And so, again, you can't fake all those things. I mean, if you have threatened your kids, you know, why Aunt so-and-so's here, you better not breathe. You know, they're over there turning blue. That way they always act? Yep. I mean, obviously, you just can't fake it. God showed up. These men showed up. And obviously, they were that. So they could see. They didn't see any inconsistencies. They didn't see any worldliness. They didn't see any bad habits. They didn't see any critical spirits. They didn't see any unkindness. They didn't see any bad influences. So we see that God had confidence and He gave a reputation of Abraham that He's got it together. Why? Because He gives me the choice. He lets me into His house. These things they could have seen. They could have seen consistent Christian living. They may even saw a place of prayer. And when he went in there to tell his wife to fix something real fast, I saw places where their knees had been in the dirt. Used to, you know, houses have like prayer, mourner's benches, prayer places. They don't have those much anymore, but there ought to still be a place. Hey, if we get home before this time, that was our rule. If we got home before a certain time, we were going to have family devotions. Now, it wasn't like we got home at 3 a.m. from driving back from Grandma's. Bless God, we're having family devotions. No, I was like, go to bed, all right? We'll catch it tomorrow. But they knew if we got home before a certain time, we were going to have family devotions. We were going to pray together. We were going to have that. And so Abraham did this, and he had his house where they could see it. Maybe there was a Bible laying on the bedside table or by the, you know, rocking chair or the recliner that has just been wore slap out. Now, that's why I can have confidence in him, because he's reading that like crazy. They saw forgiveness and love. They saw, you know, that they did Christ-honoring things. So Abraham had proved himself to God because he said, hey, I'm going to let God have the choice. Secondly, hey, I'm going to let God into my house anytime. Nothing to hide here. Thirdly, he said, I'm going to let God direct my influence. I'm going to let God direct my influence. Again, a lot of dads, you know, the older we get, the better we used to be in all the sports. Right? Okay. and so forth. And so we're trying to influence. And that's a big thing these days. Social media influencers and influence this. And Abraham influenced his kids, influenced his wife, influenced those that came to his house. He had an influence. But what he did, he let God do the influencing. He didn't try to brag himself. He didn't try to, you know, make his way things, you know, known. So here, we should take our position of head of the house very seriously. He did. And because we have influence. Now, we're either going to be a bad influence or a good influence. And there's dads out there today that they do the, I guess, what we call the sins of drinking and smoking. And they tell their kids, don't you drink and smoke. All right, well, why do you do it? And so forth. So they're good influence, bad influence. Okay, you go to church. Were you coming? No, I don't go to church. You go to church. No, use your influence. So they let God direct it. So we see that they did not immerse themselves. Again, I think you have to have a business or a career or a job to provide for your family. But again, God should be first. Family, then that you need to take care of them with. And so a lot of dads are so immersed in the business that they don't have time to train the kid or to influence the kid. They're so influenced in pleasure. Hopefully not so immersed in sin that they have no time to influence. So we see that he let, and we're going to get to the end of the story where he took his son, you know, on a trip. And I see the wood. I definitely see that knife. Where's the sacrifice? Oh, got to provide. We see that he was influenced. And so don't forget, someone taught us how. Now it's our turn. That was obviously one of the things that I appreciated about having a dad that was the right influence. Okay, so then I learned, so then I could be that. And try to be that to my boys. So don't allow crisis to come or a time, an hour of need come into your life and you don't even have anything to say. That's what I'm saying. He could have said on that trip, "Dad, I see the wood, I see the sword. Where's the lamp?" "Hush, boy." Okay. he took time. And he explained. Now that he didn't want to say it. He didn't want to say, "Son, you are the sacrifice." So he proved to God that he would obviously do what he would need to do. So proper advice from a father is essential for growth. I never had a daughter. I meant to bring it today. I got a Father's Day present yesterday. And it was a t-shirt. And on it, it said, "My daughter-in-law is my favorite child." And I never had a daughter. But, you know, daddy advice to daughters are essential. And, of course, daddy advice to sons are essential. So we have to say, "God, help me with the influence." And that's why God had that reputation. So here's some things that he did in that giving that influence out there. And we're going to obviously do a play on words here. He told him to always eat proper food. Proper food. And, of course, you know, mom probably is more, you know, in line to do that, proper food. But, of course, you know, my dad told me, he said, "Son, whatever your wife puts in front of you, you eat it. And do not, if you want to live, do not compare it to your mom." That was great advice. All right, now, it got me, what do you call that when you throw up? Stomach bug, or not stomach bug, but food poison. There we go. It got me food poison. But I took that advice. My wife put a pot pie in front of me one time. I took a bite and I was like, "Whoa." The meat was rotten. I didn't know. I didn't say, "Mom's didn't taste like this." All right, but all night long I was up about every 15 minutes getting rid of that Pop-Tart today. Or not Pop-Tart, pot pie. But proper food. But of course, spiritually speaking, you know, a dad's job is to teach their son or their daughter to eat the proper food as a Christian. Don't let it be tampered with. Don't let it have poison in it. They talk about that fly in the ointment. You know, you make sure you eat the right food as a Christian. 1 Peter 2, 1 through 3 says this, "Wherefore, lay aside all malice." Anything that's been messed with, lay it aside. If it's been added unto or taken away from, don't touch it. This is the influence. Make sure you have. "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and evil speaking." Son, you lay aside of that. In other words, don't eat stuff that will hurt you. Don't eat false doctrine. Don't eat Bibles that's been tampered with. Don't eat it. Verse 2 says this, "As newborn babes desire." You got to want it. You know, I ate more than I usually do for breakfast. I had some breakfast pizza back there and a half a donut. So I'm not desiring any food right now. In Sunday school, I was like, I was desiring to burp, but I didn't want to do it in the microphone. "But as a newborn babe desires sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby." So this influence of the dad, I know Abraham's going to tell his kids what to eat. Proper food. Verse 3 says this, "If so be that ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious." The best thing in life, son, the best thing in life, daughter, is God. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. This is the influence. Now, I know, obviously, you know, if you're a, you know, proper food, diet, all that stuff, great. And it does good, it does well for you, amen? But obviously, proper food as a Christian. Read your Bible. Ezra 7:10 says this, "For Ezra prepared his heart to seek the Lord." So in other words, before he opened his Bible, "Lord, speak to me today. Lord, help me to listen to what it says today. Help me to want it. Help me to apply it. He prepared his heart. This is how you do it, son. This is how you do it, daughter. Read your Bible. Prepare your heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach it. And you tell your five-year-old, one day you're going to be a dad. They don't get that. All right, but they get to be about 18, 19. They can see, one day I will be, or one day I will be a mom. Say, and you got to be able to teach them as well. So God knew, hey, Abraham's going to do the right thing. He's going to teach his kids to have proper food. Psalm 119:18, it says this, Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold the wondrous things out of thy law. So he's like, look, proper food. You need to go to Sunday school. You need to go to church. You need to have devotions. You need the proper food. John 16:13 says this, Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. He was telling his kids, look, proper diet as a Christian. You lay everything aside. You desire it. You prepare your heart. You ask God to open your eyes, and He will guide you. And He tells him, I want you to study it too, for your profit. I want you to know it because it's going to help you. That's what I'm saying. As a parent, they get to a certain age and then our hands are tied a lot of times until they need some money. But anyway, that's what he's saying. Look, I'm trying to train you. I'm trying to guide you. Study it for your profit. 1 Peter 1, 22 and 23 says this. Seeing ye have purified your souls. The only way to do that is through the Bible. And obeying the truth. You do what the Bible says. Through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with your heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So he's like, look, you've got to have the proper food. Next one, Acts 20, verse 20 or 32. And it says here, I commend you to God. This is what Abraham did. He trained and trained and trained and trained and said, okay, there you go. And that's what we have to do as parents. We got to provide for them. We got to train them. And then one day we got to say, okay, out the nest. You got to fly. You got to go. I commend you to God. And this is what they said in Acts 20. I commend you to God and to the Word of His grace. Told you about that proper food, the Bible, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. He's basically telling his kids here, hey, look, I've taken you this far. God can do a whole lot better job than I can. He can take you the rest of the way. So he knew that Abraham was going to do that. He told him to have that proper food. Read your Bible. Ask God to teach it to you. Study it for your profit. Use it in the service of God. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and here it is, for instruction in righteousness. Let it instruct you that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. He was like, look, you need proper food. I know Abraham's going to teach his kids that. Secondly, here's another word. Get proper exercise. Okay, so you may tell your kids, eat your broccoli, clean your plate, eat your vegetables, and then get good proper exercise. And they think this is it. All right, man, I got the strongest thumb muscles in the world. All right, pew, 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 or text, and think that might not be proper exercise. But spiritually speaking, he's like, look, what you need to do spiritually to get the proper exercise. In that verse there, in 2 Timothy, it says, confess Christ before men. Proper exercise. You be a witness. Matthew 10:32. I'm going to turn there. You can if you want. If not, I'll just read it to you. 10:32 through 38. Matthew 10:32 through 38. He's saying, look, get the right kind of food, the Bible. Get the right kind of exercise. Verse 32, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, I will confess also before my Father which is in heaven. So son, daughter, I'm telling you, get the right kind of exercise. You go out and you tell people about Jesus and God will always be there for you. And He will tell you, look, you confess me before men, I will always confess you before my Father. But whosoever shall deny me before men, I will also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. So in other words, when the kid is out there on his own grown, and he's not telling anybody about Jesus, obviously we see here he gets left out. Verse 34, think not that I am come to send peace upon earth, but I came to send peace, not peace, but a sword. For I come to set man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and the man's foes shall be they on his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son and daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. So he's like, look, you got to get the right exercise. God will take care of you. You put Him first. Go to church, Acts 2:42-47. And they continue steadfastly in doctrine, fellowship, prayers, one accord, praising God. Hebrews 10:25, forsake not the assembling yourselves together. This is what he said. Get proper exercise. Next, obey the ordinances. Obey the ordinances. You might say, obey the laws, pay your taxes, don't speed. That's fine. But according to the Bible, we're supposed to obey the ordinances. There's two of them. Okay? You get baptized after you get saved and you take the Lord's Supper. Do those. Pray. Obey the Bible. Use your talents. Don't bury them. Use them. Give offerings to God. Make sure you do that. So we see here that he let God direct his influence. His influence wasn't away from the God. So he said, have proper food. That's your Bible. Have proper exercise that serve God. And he also told him, make sure you have the proper associates. Proper associates. And he uses the word walk here. Walk in the light. I'll give you a couple verses. 1 Corinthians 15:33. And be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Son, daughter, there's stuff out there that's going to mess you up. Stay away from it. Stay in the light. Don't go into darkness. 1 John 1:7. But if we are walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. John 3:20. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither comes to the light. 1 Thessalonians 5:5. Ye are the children of light. So he's like, walk in the light. Stay in the right associates. Next, he told him to walk with the wise. Proverbs 13:20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. See, God was saying, I know Abraham's going to instill all of this in his kids. You walk with the right crowd. You stay in the light, not in darkness. You walk with wise people, not foolish people. Here's another one. Walk away from the world. Romans 12:2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. If you're going to walk away from the world. Walk in the Spirit. I'm going to read another portion of Scripture. Romans 8:9. Romans 8:9, talking about walking in the Spirit. It said, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that if the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him be raised up in Jesus from the dead, dwell in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead also quickeneth your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not of the flesh, to live after the flesh. But for if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. So he said, walk in the Spirit. So, obviously we see here Abraham had that reputation. He's going to teach his kids right, and we saw a lot of it. So how did he prove it? He left God had the choice. He let God into his house. He let God direct his influence. And lastly, he let God break his heart. He let God break his heart. Again, in our world today, you see the news, stuff like that ought to break our hearts. Stuff that happens in people's lives ought to break our hearts. All of us in here probably have a relative or somebody we know in prison for doing wrong. A lot of us in here, we have people that might not be in church today. So Abraham, he let God break his heart. Remember when him and Lot left? He let God have the choice. And now Lot, God's fixing to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham didn't go down there, "I told you. See, I made the right choice. And I fixed it. And I did the right thing." No. Broke his heart. He said, "God, will you not destroy it for 50? God, how about 45? God, how about 30? How about 20? How about 10? And he had done the math. Lot and his wife and his kids and their husband. I can get them out of there. He didn't, "I told you so." His heart was broken. "God, what can we do?" And we know the story in Genesis 18, same chapter. You can read verses 20, verse 33 is where all that's found. And God delivered Lot out of there. And then the last thing will be done. He let God have his son. This is why he had the reputation with God. He didn't hold his kid back. Probably other than your salvation, other than God, then your wife, and your kids, all that's just like right there at the top. He was willing to sacrifice his own son. That's a hard ask. And of course, we know what God did. Put the ram in the thicket. Didn't make him have to sacrifice his son, but just that willingness. And God's like, "Hey, I know Abraham. He loves me enough to let me choose, to teach his kids right, to have his household in the right way. I'm welcome there anytime. He would not keep nothing back from me. I know Abraham's going to do it. The only thing it does to me is, what kind of reputation do I have? What would God think? He probably wouldn't do that. Nope, I know he wouldn't do that." But there wasn't anything that Abraham wouldn't do. He left his hometown. He would have given him his kid. He had the reputation of God. "I know Abraham. He's going to do the right thing." Let's have a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity we have to serve you. And Lord, I just ask you to help us, Lord, all the husbands, dads, wives, moms, kids, teenagers. Lord, help us all say, "Lord, I want to have the right kind of reputation, first of all, with you. Then with my family. Then with this world." Lord, help us all, Lord, to strive to have the reputation that I'm going to seek first the kingdom of God. And He's going to take care of all the rest of it. There might be some things taken away, like Job had things taken away, but God was confident in him too. "Have you considered my servant Job?" Lord, help us, Lord, to allow you to have confidence in us and not like a broken tooth or a foot out of joint. "I don't know if I can trust them. I don't know if I can put that on them. I don't know if I can ask that of them." Lord, I ask that you can help us all, Lord, to not worry about anything else today except what our reputation is to you. In Jesus' name, let's all stand. Altar's open. If you'd like to come pray, God will be here to listen to you. Amen. Brother Derek.